Grace, greetings, and welcome to the DDP for the 17th of October, 2017. I'm Paul White, and we are in Romans 15, 7. I want to backtrack about two verses, just leading us in to this transfer. Verse 5, now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. Everything you think about God should be according to Christ Jesus. You want to see what God looks like, you got to start at Jesus. You don't start at the beginning of the Old Testament. That's okay. It's okay to start there and read the Bible, but if you want to know what God looks like, you go find him through Jesus, because the New Testament criteria for what God looks like is through Christ Jesus, according to Christ Jesus. When you see God according to Christ Jesus, you're going to come away, I think, with a couple of words. And Paul identifies those words here in Romans 15, 5, the God of patience and comfort. And if what is being presented to you is not a God of patience and comfort, then what I would say is that you're not seeing God through Christ. You're seeing God through your own understanding. And we're not to lean on our own understanding. Or you're seeing God through someone else's misunderstanding or their understanding, however you want to say it. And so I think that the God of patience and comfort is one of the more underused definitions of who God is. If you'd like a whole sermon on this, I like to do this from time to time, especially if I preached something that was very specific to a passage and I know it off the top of my head. I like to reference those to you because they're free, and all you have to do is go Google, just put the title and my name, and usually it'll pop up. Or you can go to our website, dig around, go to podbean.com, dig around. But if you will go put the God of patience and comfort, just put that in Google, the God of patience and comfort, Paul White. And I did a sermon. It was probably 5 months, 6 months ago at the most. It was in a church in Victorville, California. And I did this whole, we did a, probably 45 minutes on this passage. So I'd highly recommend it because we dig into some tributaries here that I don't really want to go to in the podcast. So that'd be a good one. It's free. You can download it. You can listen to it. Spread it around. The God of patience and comfort. Okay, transfer into seven. Transition, rather, into seven. Therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us, or you, the earliest Greek, to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision for the truth of God to confirm the promises made to the fathers. And the word servant would be better translated minister out of the Greek, that because service and ministry are synonymous in the New Testament. One of them seems to sound different to our ear. Let me give you an example. Jesus goes to Bethany, Mary and Martha's house. Mary is at his feet. Martha is in the kitchen. Martha comes out and she says, Lord, tell Mary to help me. Well, when the Bible describes what Martha's doing, it says she is cumbered about with much serving, or she is distracted with much ministry. That's better from the Greek. Distracted with much ministry. You notice, distracted with much ministry, distracted with much serving. Because in all honesty, ministry is service. So when you see a phrase in like Romans 15:8, Jesus Christ has become a servant to the circumcision, you can say Jesus Christ has become a minister to the circumcision. You're not doing damage to the Greek. In fact, you're bringing out a little bit more color, bringing out a little bit more fullness. Notice who he's a minister to the circumcision. You see, to the circumcision would be a reference to the Jewish nation or to the Jewish people. They're technically not a nation at this point. So the servant to Jewish Judaism for the truth of God to confirm the promises made to the Father. So what Christ is doing by being who he is, Jesus fulfills the promises made to the fathers, which is the very epitome of ministry to the circumcised. So what Paul is saying is, if you will go back into the Torah and you will go back into the writings of the prophets, what you will find is that they are fulfilled in Christ, and that Christ is a minister to you to confirm all of the things you've been holding on to from the Old Testament. So Christ is the capstone. He is everything that Old Testament was pointing towards. And that the Gentiles, verse 9, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. So Paul then adds that if you'll be honest to what you're reading in the Old Testament, you will realize that not only was Jesus the fulfillment of the prophetic and utterances and promises of the Old Testament, but Jesus was also that which will cause the Gentiles to glorify God. And then I love what Paul does, because Paul realizes that they know the promises of Messiah. They got those memorized. They know what the fathers have said is coming to pass. What they may not have memorized, or what they may have forgotten, was that their Old Testament, their scripture, was full of references to the Gentiles receiving. And that had been lost on a generation who had grown so angry at the invading Babylonians and the occupying Romans that they had lost compassion for the fact that God was going to save Gentiles. And Paul is not trying to create this new doctrine by which, hey, now that you're in the new covenant, God's going to save Gentiles. He's taking them back to their own scriptures. And so through verse 9, 10, 11, and 12, Paul will quote four different passages from what we call the Old Testament, all of which deal with Gentiles. So let's walk through them. I'll read it, and then I'll give you the Old Testament reference. You can jot them down. Most of your reference Bibles will actually take you there. Then go read the Old Testament. Come back and read it from Romans 15. Realize that Paul's simply trying to get a Jewish audience to understand, hey, God was always going to bring these Gentiles in. Start in verse 9. So that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, because it's written, for this reason, I will confess to you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. That's Psalms chapter 18, verse 49. And again, he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. That's Deuteronomy 32, 43. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Laud him or applaud him, all you peoples. That's Psalms 117, 1. And again, Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope. That's Isaiah chapter 11, combining verses 1 and verse 10. Did you catch that Paul uses two from Psalms, one from Deuteronomy, and two from Isaiah? Technically, he quotes five scriptures in four verses, and he does it all for the purpose of letting his audience know that God had always sent Jesus for a twofold reason. First, for the house of Israel, to fulfill the promises made to the fathers and made by the prophets. But then secondly, and equally important, Jesus came so that, and I'll just give you a sort of a conglomerate of all of these, so that confession could be made among the Gentiles, Gentiles could rejoice, Gentiles could applaud with Jews, and Gentiles could have hope. So they got everything that Israel got. So when you read 9, 10, 11, and you're trying to come up with this idea of what it means, Israel and the Jews and the Gentiles together, if you leave out these Pauline passages from the middle of Romans 15, you miss an important truth. So then 13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's Paul's culminating passage that this God of hope, and remember, he's the God of patience and comfort back in verse 5. Now he's the God of hope, and that God of hope, who is the fulfillment for Jewish promises, who is the end result for the Gentile faith, may fill you with joy and peace in believing. So as you believe, joy and peace cause you to abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. All right, we'll make another turn with Paul in verse 14 tomorrow. I'll see you then. God bless.